exists to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Have the power and the capacity to overtake. And some of us came in here this morning kind of defeated, and this week you've been battling so many different things, and you've heard lies from the enemy and lies maybe even from people. People have talked about you and maybe different challenges financially, and things didn't work out the way you wanted them to work out. But the good news is this, that in Christ Jesus, you have freedom. That in Christ Jesus, because of who God is, he is for you, he is not against you. You are more than a conqueror. And that last song really just so much connects with the message of today. And I want to read the scripture out of Galatians 5:1 just to get us started. And we're going to actually preach from Galatians 5 today. But it says, so Christ has truly set us free. And I think that's like a great place right there to say amen. For Christ has truly set us free. Some of your translations may say, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And if there's nothing else that you get out of today's message, the one thing I want you to leave with is that the thing that God wants you and I to have in our lives, the thing that God wants you and I to experience in our lives, is the freedom that comes through relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Tell the person beside you, you were made to be free. I know you may not know him. It may kind of be a little weird. You were made to be free. You're made to be free. So if you're taking notes today, I'm simply calling this message, Living a Life of Freedom. Living a Life of Freedom, Galatians chapter 5. And we're actually going to look at a few verses in this chapter, the first half of this chapter. And if you're new here, what we've been doing for the past few weeks is we've been walking through this book called Galatians. And it's actually a letter that a guy by the name of the Apostle Paul writes to these Christians who were in an area in that first century called Galatia, which we now know as present day Turkey. And so he's actually writing this letter to them to encourage them in their faith and to also help to clear up some confusion that they were finding themselves experiencing. And the reason why they were experiencing this confusion is because you had some false teachers who were coming in and talking about what it meant to be in a relationship with God, and that they were saying that in order to be in a relationship with God, you had to do all these particular things, and you had to do this, and you had to do that. And so they were just confused because it was so different than what Paul had actually told them when he first planted that church and when he led many of those people to Christ. They're pretty much saying it like this, like, Paul, we understand what you originally told us, but we got some false people who are coming in here saying something completely different, and we're struggling. And as a matter of fact, they're literally on the brink of doing something that would cause them not to live a life of freedom, but they're on the brink of doing something that would begin to take them down this path of living a life of bondage. So Paul writes this entire letter, all six chapters of the book of Galatians as we know it, to really speak to that. And a matter of fact, last week he talked about in chapter 4 of what it means to have this relationship with God. And if you missed that message, I would highly encourage you guys to go back and check it out. It's called Made to Be a Son, but Living Like a Slave. And we got it online. We got all of our messages up online, so that way you can kind of catch up. But the whole concept of that message was understanding what it means to have a relationship with God. Because I think so many times, many people look at God as not somebody that they can have a relationship with, but they look at God as somebody that they have to, you know, get everything right for. Or maybe they look at God in terms of, if I mess up, he's going to strike me down with a bolt of lightning. Like if I happen to say a cuss word by accident to the person on my job because they've been getting on my nerves like the past week, that Jesus is going to come back and cast me out of his presence forever and ever. And that is so far from the truth. And so what I hope this series has really been doing for us as a church, and even if this is your first time, that it would also do for you, is that it would help you have a clear understanding of what it means to have a relationship with God. And as a matter of fact, I want to actually read a message that we got from one of our members in our church. And one of our members, they actually share many of the messages that we preach on Sunday. And as I mentioned, they're all up online on our website. And so one of the messages that we got from our member after sharing the message with some friends of his was this. And I thought it was just so amazing because you don't hear stuff like this. But he says, thanks for turning me on to your church's audio recordings of their services. I think I have understood more about my faith in the past few recordings than I have understood my whole entire life. Wow. And here's what's crazy. This person who sent our member this message lives in a whole other state. So they don't even like live in the same area. So I wanted to let you guys know as a church family, Bridge Church, man, God is using you guys to make a difference, not only of the lives of people in this community, but also in the lives of people in other communities, simply because you are steadfast on doing what God has called you to do. So I just want to say thank you, church family, for being who you are, for sacrificing, for the team of people who serve every week, week in and week out, leading small groups and serving in so many different capacities for the sole purpose so that way people can have a relationship with God. So that we could do what Paul is doing here and sharing the gospel message with other people. So kind of getting into the message, Paul, he's writing this letter to these believers in Galatia, and he's trying to help them understand what the gospel means. And this is a word that he's used all throughout this book. And some of us, like, based upon your church experience, or maybe not even a church experience, maybe you don't even have a church experience, maybe this today is your first time coming to a church service, and you may not even have an idea of what gospel means, or you may actually think that gospel actually means, like, a genre of music or something along those lines. And here's the reality. Gospel doesn't mean any of those things. The word gospel is not a genre of music. The word gospel literally means good news. And you may be asking a question, well, good news, what is that all about? Here's the reality. Scripture says it like this, that we were far from God. We didn't have a relationship with God. We messed up, we blew it, we sinned, all these things, and so on and so forth. And so the bad news is this, that we deserve to be eternally separated from God. But because God is so loving, and he doesn't want us to be separated from him, he offers up his greatest gift in the form of his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins and resurrects on the third day so that way you and I could have a loving and eternal relationship with God. Like, that's the whole core message of the gospel. That's what the gospel itself means. It means good news. And so when Paul is writing this message, he's helping them understand this whole concept of what it means to have this relationship with God. That being in a relationship with God is there's so much joy in it. But I think so many times, just like Paul was kind of dealing with here, so many times we kind of think that there's no joy in a relationship with God. Like, we just look at our walk with God as a list of do's and don'ts and things that we can do and things that we can't do. And the reality is that is so far from the truth. Like, God wants us to experience the freedom and the joy and the happiness that comes with the relationship with him. It doesn't mean that it's going to be all hunky-dory. It doesn't mean that every day is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to experience troubles. No, you're going to experience many troubles. But the difference is when you go through those troubles, you can have access to a peace that surpasses all understanding. This peace that begins to take you not from experiencing all of this type of confusion and all of this type of ridicule in the midst of your troubles, but this peace that gives you absolute contentment in the middle of your storm. This is why when Jesus was in different situations with his disciples who, for instance, found themselves in a situation where they were in a storm and Jesus is sleeping at the bottom of the boat and his disciples are confused because they're like, man, we're about to die. This is like a crazy Easter out here. And they go down below the deck and they're like, Jesus, man, we're gonna, you care anything about us? And he says, hey, this is in the Pastor Edwin translation. Hey, man, y'all chill out. Y'all, like, y'all just chill. Like, you guys are getting all worked up about something that not even that serious. And the scripture actually says that he goes out to the top of the boat, and he goes out in the middle of the storm, and he says, peace be still. In the middle of a storm, Jesus declares peace. And I think that's an awesome truth, because no matter what you're going through, the relationship with God brings you peace no matter what it is that you are dealing with. This is the benefit of a relationship with God. There's a joy that comes with it. There's a freedom that comes with it. And even as I was preparing this message, one of the things that popped up in my mind as I was kind of prepping this message, and I oftentimes tell you guys that as I'm sermon prepping, God oftentimes gives me these really weird and different and off the wall type of illustrations. When I was thinking about the freedom that Christ gives, the thing that I thought about was Chuck E. Cheese. How many of y'all know about Chuck E. Cheese? Just by show of hands. Kind of got kids, right? And Chuck E. Cheese has this slogan called, where a kid can be a kid. Now, for some of us as parents, that is terrifying. Because if you've ever been to Chuck E. Cheese, it is a madhouse. Like, I mean, you just see kids running all over the place, and they're jumping through hoops, and Chuck E. Cheese comes out from the back, and based upon what Chuck E. Cheese you go to, you know, if, I don't know, like, where you're from, some Chuck E. Cheeses, they're kind of cool, and some of them are not. Some of them, I see the Chuck E. Cheese, I'm like, yeah, I don't want my son playing with you, man. You look a little different. Ear coming all off, you know, got a little older. I don't know, man. But they go crazy over Chuck E. Cheese. And the question I'm always asking to myself is, man, like, why are they going so crazy over this? Because they've tapped into this element of freedom and this joy that for a few moments they are able to have utter freedom to enjoy this experience. Now, granted, a relationship with God pales, Chuck E. Cheese pales in comparison to a relationship with God, but I think we're on to something with that. That if kids can experience an unconventional type of joy and freedom at Chuck E. Cheese, who is here for a few hours and gone the next, what does that say about the freedom and the joy and the excitement that we can experience in a relationship with God? Because that's what God wants you to experience. Like, God doesn't want you to it does not glorify God by you and I going to a job and saying, woe is me, I love Jesus, I got this whole Eeyore thing going on. Man, you know, God is good. You know, I don't know if he's going to do it this time, but I'm going to just trust him. It's like, what? You have freedom in Christ. This should be the most exciting thing that you get excited about in your life. Right? Now some of us, to our defense, some of us will say, but I'm not an emotional person. Like, I get it. Football season is like right around the corner. Thank God, because there's nothing on TV right now. Right? Golf is like, I don't really know, you know, like the Olympics are getting ready to start. That's going to kind of be a little exciting. But we get excited about so many other things. So it's not a matter of whether we can get excited about certain things. It's about we know the value that it brings to our life, because when we know the value of a relationship with God in our life, that will cause us to have this everlasting joy. That's what God wants us to experience. I don't know about you, like if I saw somebody who claimed to know God and claimed to have this freedom in Christ, you know, looking and sounding like they don't have freedom in Christ, that's not life-giving to me. Like, that's not exciting to me. So maybe part of the reason why people on our job really that, like, they don't want to go to come to church, even though we've invited them many times, is because you look dead and defeated. Like maybe that's the reason. Like maybe, you know, they're like, man, it's Debbie Downer again. Here we go. They just kind of mope around. It's like the person, it's like they kind of like had this whole slipper thing where just kind of walking around, just dragging their feet. And Jesus is like, yo, I died for you. I died so you can experience this freedom. And that's what Paul is trying to help the believers here in Galatia understand. That being in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus brings freedom, not bondage. That the Christian life is not about rules, guys. It's about relationship. And some of our church experiences, man, they just drove rules all the way down. You got to wear this to church or else Jesus won't love you. If your service in church is not 2.5 hours, you don't have the Spirit of God there. Well, I guess we don't have the Spirit here because we only last about 1 hour and 15, 30 minutes. It just drove down all these particular rules. No, you can't go to Buffalo Wild Wings. That's where the sinners hang out. This is like ridiculous, like all these different rules. And Jesus was like, I didn't come to give you rules. I came to give you a relationship. That's what I came for. That's what it's about. Like the Christian life is not about a set of rules. It's about having a relationship with the person and his name is Jesus. That's what it's about. So Paul is trying to help these believers in Galatia understand that, because they begin to lose sight of that. They begin to hear these lies that the Judaizers, which is these false teachers who have been coming in and saying that you got to do this to be accepted by God, and you got to do this to be accepted by God. They started to believe these things, and as a consequence, they begin to lose the joy and the freedom in their relationship with God. So Paul pens this letter in particular, this chapter. He really gets down and dirty with it. He says in verse 1, so Christ has truly set us free. And here's a few things that I want to help us understand before we leave. That living a life of freedom, number one, is about understanding the foundation of your freedom. Or I would say it like this, the source of your freedom. Understanding where freedom comes from. That freedom is not going to come from more parties or more money or more accomplishments or this, that, and the other. True freedom is only found through Jesus. He is the only one who can give us freedom. So Paul says it like this. So Christ has truly set us free. Some of your translation says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Christ is the source of your freedom. You're not going to find it by making more money. It's not going to come as a result of a new house or a new job. All those things are great. Well, let's just be real, man. You can get a new house and be in more bondage than you were before you got the new house. So I can't be relying on superficial things to bring me freedom, to bring me permanent satisfaction for that's really temporary in nature. Jesus says, I am the one who gives you freedom. Here's what he says in John chapter 8, verse 34. He says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. We talked about that last week. So if the Son, capital S, himself, Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus came to set you free from your sin, from your issues, from your depression, from your discouragement, from your bondage. Jesus came to set you free. Like, I hope you get that. If you fall asleep or leave out, this is the thing I want you to understand. Leave out of here knowing that Jesus came to set you free. So even if you're in a relationship right now and you feel like you're in bondage, that is not the grace and mercy of Jesus, because he came to set you free. He came to give you freedom. That's what it's about. Our freedom is rooted in Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross for our sin and through his resurrection. And here's the cool thing about his freedom. There's nothing that Jesus has done that can be undone. So that's why he says, if he sets you free, you are free indeed. He sets you free, man. He's the source of your freedom. And I've found oftentimes that the reason why most people experience frustration in their life is because they're looking to other things to bring them freedom, when in all actuality, they only bring more bondage. Here's the question I want to ask you today. What source are you leaning on for freedom? Like, who are you trusting in for freedom? Are you trusting in your coworkers? Are you trusting in your friends? Are you trusting in your boo? Like, what are you trusting in? You trusting in your income, your resources? What are you trusting to bring you freedom? Because really, at the end of the day, they don't bring freedom, they bring bondage. But Jesus not only promises freedom, but he gives freedom. Jesus says we're no longer a slave to our sin, but in him we have life. And oftentimes the reason why we remain stuck in life is because we turn to the wrong source for life. But Jesus says, I want to set you free. So many of us have come in here today dealing with so many different issues, right? You're still being held hostage from the pain that you experienced as a child back in high school. The people who talked about you, right? The father who wasn't there, the mom who wasn't there, the parents who walked out on you, the people who said that they would be here for you and then weren't there, the thing that you didn't experience, that you wanted to experience, the job that you didn't get, and you're kind of in bondage to this bitterness, to this pain, this unforgiveness. And Jesus says, I want to set you free from that. And I'm glad that Jesus didn't just come to set us free from our sin, but I'm glad that Jesus also came to set us free from the effects of our sin. Like, Jesus is not just concerned with setting you free from sin, like, get out of hell free card. Like, you're good. You're on your own until you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, I'll see you. No, Jesus is like, no, I want to be involved in every fabric and every aspect of your life to set you free from the things that you feel enslaved to, the things that you feel in bondage to, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to set you free from that. A few months ago, I kind of shared this story about how a friend of mine, who he and his wife were trying to have kids for a number of years, and they just couldn't. And the doctors constantly told them, you guys will never be able to have kids. And they constantly told them, you need to look at adoption, or you need to look at foster care. You need to look at all these things for years, not just like a few months, for years. And then on top of that, as they were getting older, that obviously begins to drive up the risk for pregnancy and the risk of things happening during pregnancy. So now you have all these different type of fears coming in. But the whole entire time, they never believed that God never desired for them not to have kids. They didn't believe that that was for them. They didn't believe that the story would end there. They didn't believe that the story would end with the reports of the doctors. So in this moment, they have a choice. We can either be in bondage to what we see, or we can be free based upon what God has said. And just to kind of cut the story short, after a whole lot of series of events, they now have a 2-month-old beautiful baby girl. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. You don't have to be a slave to your past anymore. You don't have to be a slave to your sin anymore. You don't have to be a slave to the alcohol anymore. You don't have to be a slave to the pornography anymore. You don't have to be a slave to the lust anymore. You don't have to be a slave to this, to that, the other. You don't have to be a slave to these things anymore because Jesus has come to set you free. Jesus says like this, I've come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. That's what Paul is trying to help them understand. Jesus came to give you freedom. He's the source of your freedom and freedom. Here's what he says next, that in addition to living a life of freedom, it starts with having this foundation of your freedom, but then it also means that you're gonna also have to fight for your freedom. You're gonna have to fight for it. So notice what he says in the second part of verse 1. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Here's what Paul means by that. He says, you've been set free from having to obey all of the laws that God gave in the Old Testament, thinking that that would make you right with God. No, Jesus has set you free from that. But don't go back down that path thinking that you got to do this and you got to be circumcised and you got to adhere to this day and you got to honor this day and this, that, and the other to be accepted by God. He says, you got to fight against that. You got to fight against these lies that the enemy's trying to bring in through these false teachers. You got to fight against these particular things. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that movie Braveheart. Came out in the 90s. It's a bloody movie, and I love it. I love it. I love violent movies. I'm just joking. I don't really like violent movies. I don't want you guys to get the wrong perception of me here. But I love that movie because all throughout the movie, Mel Gibson plays this character by the name of William Wallace, and you know what he's fighting for? Just one word, freedom. The whole entire movie. And Mel Gibson, I mean, he's just like slaying people, like any person that gets in his way, just cutting them down, like literally cutting them down for freedom. Because as the surrounding country was trying to bring them to this place of oppression, his character, William Wallace, was fighting for the freedom. And I'm gonna tell you how gangster Mel Gibson's character, William Wallace, was. I'm sorry if that word kind of messed you up a little bit. But I'm gonna tell you how serious he was about this thing called freedom. He's literally on his practically deathbed at the end of the movie. And I'm sorry if you haven't seen it. I'm kind of spoiling it right now. I've been called like the movie spoiler around here. I'm sorry. I love movies. And if you haven't seen it, came out in the 90s, man. Go Netflix it. Come on. But he's literally on his deathbed. And he has the opportunity to not be killed in a way he's getting ready to be killed if he would just give up his fight. And so as he's literally on the chopping block, he's on the table, and some crazy stuff has happened to him leading up to this point. And he's on the table, and he's trying to utter up some words. And they say, hold on, everybody, be quiet, because we think he's getting ready to say something. And he whispers it, and they can't hear him. And then he says it again, and he says it so loud that it kind of like sends shockwaves all throughout the land. And he literally shouts, freedom, on his deathbed, and then gets beheaded. The story didn't end with a happy ending. I'm sorry, guys. But they fought for their freedom, and then they got the freedom. I think Paul is trying to help us, just like he was trying to help the Galatian believers understand, that you have to be vigilant with fighting for the freedom that Jesus has given you. That you have to guard against the lies that the enemy will come in and try to tell you that go contrary to against the word and the will of God. So here's what the enemy will say. He will say things like, you're less than. You're a failure. You're no good. You're trailer park trash. You didn't come from a good neighborhood. You're a hood rat. He'll say all these things. Paul is saying stuff like, but you got to refute the lies of the enemy with the truth of God and begin to say things like, no, 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 no. I'm the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a son and daughter of the Most High God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He said, these are the things that you got to preach to yourself, man. Got to fight. Matter of fact, this is why Paul would write later on in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, put on the whole entire spiritual armor of God because you got to be ready to wage war against the enemy. And I believe that some of us in here, man, the enemy's just kind of been running rampant in our lives. He's been telling you all these different lies, and he's been saying you can't do this, and he's been kind of attacking you here. And God is saying, it's time for you to stand fast and stand firm on my word. It's time for you to stop being bullied by the enemy. Here's the reason why you can stop being bullied by the enemy. Because if sin, death, and evil could not hold back me resurrecting my son from the grave on the third day, there is nothing that you can experience right now that will hold you back from being who I've called you to be. That's a great place to say amen and clap your hands, man. Like there's nothing at all. You gotta fight. So all throughout these next few verses, I'm not going to read them because we don't have enough time, but verses 1 all the way down to verse 12, Paul is really kind of just laying out this foundation. You got to fight against this type of stuff. He says things like verse 2 through 3, where he says, if you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I say it again, that if you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God, he says it again, by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. Here's what Paul is saying. Not that you could lose your salvation, but you're going the wrong way. You're living the wrong way. You need to fight against these things that are coming in your life to hold you hostage. You need to fight against that. So when the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to attack your marriage, you need to begin to speak truth and say, God is for us. He's not against us. When the enemy comes in, tries to attack your kids, you need to begin to speak the truth over your life, that God will be a fence and a protection all around us. When the enemy comes in and tries to attack your health, you need to begin to remind yourself of the things that God has said. Things like, by his stripes, we are healed. You need to begin to remind yourself of these things. Now, if you don't believe it, that's on you. But here's what he's saying. Believe it. Because it's true. You got to fight against it, man. You got to fight against the things of the enemy. And I think that many of the struggles that we deal with are really the byproduct of lies that we have believed for years. So maybe you've settled for a life of mediocrity simply because of the fact that you've bought into what the enemy has said versus trusting in what God has said. But it's time for you to fight. It's time for you to lace up the boots, to stick your chest out, and to fight. But here's the good news. You're not fighting on your own. Because if I was just to leave this point and just say that you're fighting by yourself just to get out there, that's just a self-help message. Here's what Paul says. Fight by the power of the Spirit. So this is what he says in verse 5. But we who live by the Spirit. So the very Spirit that raised Jesus. This is what Paul says in Romans 8. He now lives on the inside of you. So you're not fighting this battle by yourself. You're fighting it with the very help, with the very power, with the very presence of God, which means now you don't have to look at your situations and be defeated. No, you can look at your situations and see that they are already defeated by the power of Christ living on the inside of you. Paul says, fight. Stand firm. Fight. Fight for what God has given you. Not on your own. Fight by the power of your Spirit. And Paul says this, that all these things that the Judaizers are coming in and telling you guys, they're lies, guys. You don't have to be circumcised to be accepted by God. You don't have to obey all these rules to be accepted by God. The only thing that it takes to be accepted by God is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that here in Galatians 5. The only thing that it takes to be in a relationship with God is faith in Jesus. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You don't need anything else except faith in Jesus. So it's not about perfect attendance coming to church on Sundays. That's good, but it's not about that. It's not about whether or not you got a fresh suit or not. That's cool, but that's not what God cares about. God cares, do you believe in my son? That's all that matters. You got to fight for these things that God has called us to fight for. Here's the last thing and then I'm done. That after you understand the foundation of your freedom and after you fight for your freedom, you gotta also understand the function of your freedom. Notice what he says in verses 13 through 15, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. Guys, I'm good. You guys don't have to come up right now. Y'all good. I'm still going, like 5 more minutes. I love it because they're on it, man. They're awesome. That's not like 5 preaching minutes. That's like 5 good minutes. All right. You know, as preachers, like we like to say, like that's 5 minutes, but it's like 30 minutes. I promise you, I mean 5 minutes. But here's what Paul says, verse 13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't, hold on. For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Like we just kind of skim over that. You've been called to live in freedom. This is a calling for your life to live in freedom. Which means, like, it doesn't matter what your boss said, it doesn't matter what they said years ago. Doesn't matter what happened to you. You've been called from all eternity, from the beginning of time, before God even made you in your mother's womb. He knew you. You have been called to live in freedom, which leads into what he says next. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here's what Paul is saying, that this freedom that Jesus has given us, it has a purpose, it has a function. So in other words, Jesus hasn't just set you and I free so that way we can just kind of go live however we want to live. No, he gave us this freedom for a purpose, to glorify God and to serve others, to live a life that honors God. Now, many of us have this freedom in Christ that I'm talking about. Many of us are trying to get to that point. And you can experience that freedom in Christ today. But some of us, if you're like me, even kind of growing up, when I came to Christ, you know, sometimes I had this misinterpretation of what it meant to be free in Christ. So I would be like, hey, I'm forgiven for my sins, past, present, and future. I'm going to go live it up and repent later. Paul is like, no, that's not the right way. Some of us have done that. I'm about to cuss them out, but I'm going to repent for it later, right? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. That's something that I guess I only had dealt with early on, right? Like, Paul is saying, like, that's not how you should be living a life of freedom. No, you have to steward your freedom to the glory of God. And here's why. Because remember what Paul said in verse, at the end of chapter 4, that you are an heir in Christ, which means you are a son or daughter of God, which means you are part of the family of God, which means being a part of the family of God means that there are certain things that you do and don't do. My 3-year-old son is a part of our family, and we got rules in the house. Dude, you just can't go throw a basketball at the window. You just can't. You can't try to go choke slam your sister. She's a year old, dude. She's not even old enough to wrestle yet. Anybody have crazy kids like that? Like you can't go do that. Like, but we have other rules. Man, have fun. Enjoy. Eat the ice cream, man. Enjoy yourself. There's a function, there's a purpose for it. And even in the family of God, there's a certain way that we should live when it comes to our freedom. That living out the freedom of Christ means doing so in the way that he intended us to do it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What's the calling? This calling of freedom. Live a life worthy of the calling. Which means, hey, if I'm a child of God, man, that means, yeah, there's probably some places I'm not gonna go anymore. There's probably some things I probably shouldn't do anymore. Like, I probably should try to get lying out of my system, man. I probably should try to get rid of that. I probably should try to die to that. I probably should try to get rid of some nasty habits. Like, yeah, like, that's what it means to follow Christ. But don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Like, these are things that you get to do. Because when you're truly free in Christ, you won't look at these things as things that you get to do. You'll want to do these things because you want to draw closer to God. You want to do that. Because your heart has been transformed. So now you're no longer living for yourself, but you're living for the one who died for you. This is the purpose of your freedom. I'll say it like this, that I don't do wrong things to be free. But because I'm free, I no longer want to do wrong things. No longer want to do them. I heard a song on the radio that says, it's kind of an old school song. Some of you guys may know it. But it says, now that I have this love in Christ, this love makes me do right. Even sometimes when I want to do wrong, because I have this desire to want to honor God and to want to live for God, right? Like, if God has to make you do something, that's not genuine. That's not really freedom. That's bondage. But when I begin to look at the things that God calls me to do in my life, not as a rule, but as an invitation to enjoying the freedom in Christ Jesus, that's what it's all about. So I actually want to read this quote in closing. This is what a very well-known writer named Warren Wiersbe, he says it like this, that Christian liberty is not a license to sin, but it's an opportunity to serve. It's not a license to sin. So I don't look at the forgiveness that Jesus has offered up for me on the cross as an opportunity just to kind of do whatever I want to do. No, man, I want to live for him, man. Why do I want to live for him? Because he died for me. I'm compelled by this love of Christ. So Paul is getting at here. Don't use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Don't use your freedom that Jesus gives just to do whatever. No, live a life that honors God. Matthew 5, Jesus says like this, be salt and light and let your light so shine so that people will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is what it means to live a life of freedom. When I begin to enjoy this relationship with God the right way. One of the things that we're getting ready to do as a church starting next week as we're getting ready to get on this journey, go on this journey called 21 Days of Prayer. And for 21 straight days, we're going to dial into the presence of God as a church. And I'm going to talk more about it next Sunday. We're going to seek God in prayer for 21 days, starting August 8th all the way to the end of August, August 28th. And for 21 straight days, we're going to press into the presence of God. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Why wouldn't I want to get closer to the one who gave his all for me? Why wouldn't I want to get closer to the one who spared nothing to reconcile me back to himself? This is what freedom is all about. This is what Paul was trying to help them understand. Guys, if you go through with this circumcision, that's what he's telling them. Man, it's almost as if Christ did nothing for you. He says, don't live like that. Circumcision means nothing. Christ means everything. So that's why he says earlier in this chapter, circumcision or no circumcision, it has no value. It has no value. The only thing that matters most is your relationship with God and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters. This is what it means to live a life of freedom. And I believe that some of us here today, some of us came here in bondage. Some of us came here dealing with things that we have not been able to shake for years, for months, for days. You haven't told anybody about it. You haven't even told your spouse about it. It's kind of like that secret sin. It's that secret struggle that you have and you don't want anybody to know about, but you are in bondage. And the only way that you can be set free is by bringing it to the feet of Jesus. The only way that you can be set free is by bringing it into the light. And it's easy to kind of think that by bringing it into the light, it's going to get exposed. No, by bringing it into the light, the blood of Jesus is going to cover it. So now you no longer have to live in bondage, but that you can live free. So some of us are here this morning, and that's you. You want to experience this freedom because you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But today, he's offering that freedom. Paul says, so Christ has truly set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my question to you. Are you here this morning? Are you in bondage? Maybe some of us are in bondage to a particular thought process, thought pattern. You just kill yourself with these negative thoughts. I mean, you just butcher yourself, man. You tell yourself that you're a failure, you're a reject. And this has been the pattern for years, and maybe it didn't even come from you. Maybe it came from people who were close to you speaking these things over your lives. And Jesus is saying, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is what I've said about you. What I say about you is that I love you, that you are loved by me, that you are adopted into my family, that I spilt my blood so that way you could be reconciled to me. That's the only thing that matters. Says today, I'm going to set you free. Some of us have been battling different addictions. You've been battling alcoholism. You've been battling different struggles. And Jesus says today, I offer freedom. And it starts with you putting your faith and trust in me. That's what he's saying. And what I've accomplished for you on the cross and through my resurrection. So if this is you, this is your heart's desire. And you're saying, I want to experience this freedom. I want to know what this feels like. Maybe you're not even a Christ follower. You're not a Christian yet. You don't have a relationship with God, but you want this. That's the key to experiencing freedom, but you want this. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's really simple. We call it a commitment prayer around here. There's nothing special about it. It's just us helping you articulate your decision today to turn everything over to Christ, to surrender your issues to Christ, to surrender your struggles to Christ, to surrender your problems to Christ. That's what this means. So if this is you this morning, you're saying, I want a relationship with him. I want to experience freedom. I don't want to be in bondage anymore. I'm tired of struggling in secret. I want to bring it out into the open. I want to bring it out into the light. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that he is the path to me experiencing freedom, and I want that today. If this is your desire, I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my struggles. I give you my sin. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for raising back to life, so that I can have new life, so that I can have freedom. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. Amen. So, hey, here's what I want us to do. If you made a decision today, if you just gave Christ your life, you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I believe that you wholeheartedly have made a decision to follow Jesus. You have now entered into a relationship with God, and it is the greatest relationship that you and I will ever experience. And so if you did that today, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want us all to do. If we could pull out that worship guide that we gave you when you walked in. And at the bottom of that worship, God, is a connection card. It says,